This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Playoffs are set in the NBA.
By the way, before we get to that, quickly, Jets are at it again.
Oh, what now?
Well, not really a what now. I mean, maybe, but they tweeted out the video of Rodgers just walking in there today. They're very excited about it. Happy to see you too at Aaron Rodgers 12. He's smiling. He's got the hoodie. He's got the sunglasses. He's got the hat.
Off-season champs, here we come, baby. Off-season champs.
I will give him that. Last off-season for Aaron Rodgers, electric.
This off-season?
Oh, every off-season for Aaron Rodgers the last 4 or 5 years has been electric. But ever since the Green Bay Packers drafted Jordan Love, we've been on Rodgers' watch every single off-season.
We have, but I'm saying last year with the Jets, we all thought, wow, this is a different version of Aaron Rodgers. He's doing everything right. He's hanging out with his teammates. He's being a great representative of the Jets.
He gave back $35
million. $35 million. Amazing addition to this conversation. It was all great. And then he runs out of the tunnel with the American flag on September 11th. That was amazing. Four plays in, not so much. But he did a really good job in the offseason last year.
Who knew that this time last year, the pinnacle of Aaron Rodgers 2023 was going to be him running out of the stadium tunnel with the American flag on 9/11?
It was pretty good.
That was great. It was great.
until
it wasn't.
Very quickly,
Until it wasn't. Okay. Congratulations for the Jets. They're starting their offseason program, putting their team back together. Hooray. Here we go.
Hooray.
Let's go.
Hooray.
They're certainly not leaning away from Rodgers, I'll tell you that much.
But they have to lean in. They built this whole thing around him. He's their only hope of being good. They have to lean in.
But anyone who thought, hey, maybe they would take a more measured approach of balancing a 53-man roster. They didn't sign all of Rodgers' friends this offseason. And not fully leaning in.
How many friends are left, really, to sign?
I don't know how many friends
Most of these dudes are retired.
Most of them are retired. He's already got almost all of the guys that he would want.
But they start off their offseason program with the big tweet of Rodgers walking in.
There we go.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
All right, NBA playoffs set. Play-in games, we have Miami and Philadelphia in the East, as well as Chicago and Atlanta. In the West, we have New Orleans and L.A. That is the Lakers, and then Golden State and Sacramento. Those are your play-in games. Your number one seed's Oklahoma City in the West. Boston, I think we've known since week two of the regular season, in the East. And we have juicy matchups that are already set. Dallas and the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Minnesota and Phoenix got a little heated yesterday with Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. In the Eastern Conference, maybe not as much. But Orlando and Cleveland, Cleveland wanted Orlando, and they got Orlando. But Milwaukee and Indiana has some juice because those two teams went at it at times during the course of the season. There was a whole controversy about who gets the game ball earlier this year. Indiana really had their number. The number one storyline for you right now in the postseason is what? What jumps out at you the most going into it?
It'd probably be who's trying to fight to get into it, right? I mean, the Sixers on the Eastern Conference side, I mean, everybody is looking at them as the alternative to Boston to represent that conference in the finals. And in the West, you got the Golden State Warriors and the LA Lakers. Like, I just want to see which one of them is going to be able to punch their ticket to get into the tournament. So that's exciting to see. You would like that both of them could, but the likelihood of that happening, slim to none. So, I mean, it's just that is exciting for me to watch how all of this plays itself out with those three teams and whether or not they can get into a real playoff series.
Yeah. So we're talking overall in the playoffs, not just playing, right?
Sure.
Obviously.
Sure.
To me, it's are the Celtics as dominant as we think they are? Because the last time they won this many games, 64, they won a title in 07-08. It's been a minute. It's the fourth most regular season wins in franchise history. Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics have been on the precipice of a championship for a long time. We assume that he's the next guy to break through, but we've seen some disappointments from the Boston Celtics in the playoffs, obviously. So what version of Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics are we going to get? The dominant team that we've seen in the regular season, or is it going to be another playoff disappointment? And if so, what are the ramifications of that?
So if we were to come up with a playoff draft, and we're going to create an overall playoff lineup of the players that we are most confident in to play at the highest level for the longest, I'm going to assume Jokic is the first pick in that.
Number
correct?
One.
Who's second?
Anthony Edwards.
I could see them losing the first round.
But you're saying for the entirety of their careers?
This postseason.
This postseason.
Who is the player outside of Jokic that you have the most confidence in, to play the longest this postseason at the highest level?
Luka Doncic.
Ooh, good one.
I think they could lose in the first round.
Okay.
And but Luka's your first, or now you would put Jokic first though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and Luka's second.
Yeah.
I would go Tatum, and I would throw Embiid in there. Because I think Philadelphia is very dangerous and that we could see them get to the conference finals.
Does anyone feel like Shea should be in that conversation?
Yes, he should be in the conversation, but my confidence level is not necessarily the same.
The question then becomes, do I think that the Oklahoma City Thunder can beat the Denver Nuggets if they get to the conference finals? And the answer would be no.
Yeah.
But you do think if there were to be an upset, Dallas would be your team that you
I think Dallas
So that's
could,
why Luka think, would be your second pick.
I think Dallas could get to the conference finals and upset the Denver Nuggets. I do think that.
What about Brunson?
Brunson is great, man. I love Brunson. I love Brunson. I just don't know that the Knicks have the firepower outside of him to get there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they're gonna show up. I know they're gonna play hard, and that's a big part of it. I just don't know that they're going to have the firepower offensively to be able to hang with the other teams in the Eastern Conference that we would think are championship contenders.
I know they're lower seeds, but I think it's interesting that we haven't brought up LeBron, Steph, Kevin Durant.
Well, Durant's interesting. If you could see them, which I could, upsetting Minnesota.
That could happen.
In the first round.
Yeah.
The problem with this argument now is they get Denver in the second round. If they got Oklahoma City in the second round, meaning if Denver was the one, you may look at the Suns and say, hey, that's a good, go to ESPN bet. That's a sleeper conference finals pick. But because Denver would be sitting there waiting for them, that's a hard one. I think the number one team that I'm looking at that could change our viewpoint on them is actually Milwaukee, and Giannis could skyrocket up that draft board, so to speak. If Milwaukee has a series in the first round where, let's just say for argument's sake, they beat Indiana, as you've been saying, gentlemen's sweep, five games, we may sit here and say, okay, we have to recalibrate our thought process on Milwaukee.
Yes.
Because they would then get the winner of the Knicks in the seventh seed. Let's call it Philadelphia. They can Milwaukee at that point, they win the first round in five, Giannis is healthy. We're not going to sit there and say
If they win the first round of five against the Knicks, yeah. And then I'm with you on that one.
Milwaukee.
I'm against the Pacers. It doesn't matter who they play in the second round, whether it's the Knicks or the Sixers. Like, I think Milwaukee could be, would probably be favored in that series. I mean, you look at Milwaukee now, I think they have the second best odds in the Eastern Conference to win a title. So it's not as if the odds makers are dismissing what the Bucks can be. I'm just going to go ahead and dismiss them based on what I've seen, the eyeball test this year.
Same.
I mean, there's a reason why they fired Adrian Griffin. There's a reason why it's been clunky under Doc Rivers. There's a reason why all of these things have seemingly come up in terms of questions about the long-term future of all of the key actors there. So I don't trust the Milwaukee Bucks. And given how they've played against the Pacers in the regular season, being 1-4, if you include the in-season tournament games, yeah, I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that they get bounced in the first round.
Let me add one other team that we could recalibrate our thoughts on, right, if they do something in the first round. So we're all in agreement, Milwaukee.
I know who you're going to say. The Clippers.
That's right.
You're going to say the Clippers.
Okay, go ahead.
No, and you're absolutely right, because if they were be able to beat Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving in the Mavs, that means that they get the Oklahoma City Thunder more likely than not in the second round.
Right.
And with a young team like that and the playoff pedigree of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Ty Lue, I could absolutely see a scenario where that team gets to the conference finals. And defensively, you have to think that they have the pieces that would match up against the Denver Nuggets. I mean, Jokic is going to get his, but you could lock down everybody else, which I think would be the key, right? So, yeah, the Clippers could change the way we feel about them if they're able to beat the Mavs, because I think the Mavs have the best tandem right now going into the playoffs. In terms of the way that they're playing between Kyrie and Luka, if the Clippers cut the faucet off with the Dallas Mavericks, then that would let everybody else around the NBA know that they are for real in terms of them going on a deep playoff run and living up to the promise that everybody thought they had when they traded for Paul George and bought in Kawhi Leonard in free agency.
I'll add one other idea on this. There's one team, I think, that if they win in the first round that we are not considering as a title contender, that we will immediately say is a title contender. If the Lakers somehow upset the Nuggets in the first round,
oh,
We will then say, why can't they go and win a title?
It's LeBron James.
They've already beaten the hardest team.
Right, right.
Everything else, in theory, should be easier. Now, wear and tear on the body as it goes doesn't make it easier, right? Because you're going to have Anthony Davis, who normally is banged up, not this year, and LeBron
James.
He got back spasms last night. How many games? 76?
He banged up.
But he played way more games this year than normal.
Sure, no, I get what you're saying.
The thought process would recalibrate for a good first round for Milwaukee and a win for the Clippers. We'd recalibrate our thought process there, and all hell would break loose if the Lakers beat the Pelicans and then beat the Nuggets. All hell breaks loose at that point.
No doubt, because you're going to default to LeBron James, and the conversation will be, why did we dismiss him? Why did we count him out? Look, he's doing it again. Will you feel the same way about the Heat if they somehow find a way to win?
Not if they beat the Knicks. If they beat the Celtics, yeah, then all of a sudden I'll start thinking things.
What about the Golden State Warriors?
Walk me through it. So they beat the Kings. They beat, what do you want to say, the Lakers or the Pelicans?
Pelicans.
They beat the Pelicans, mm-hmm. and now they're the eighth seed. They've already had the two hardest moments so far. They maybe deep. I take the Thunder in game one, I'll tell you that much of that series, considering they'll be exhausted.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, do you recalibrate them? Yes, but that second round matchup, if they get by the first round, is still difficult with
That's
the Clippers.
Tough.
See, the thing about the Heat as the eighth seed, or even the Sixers as the eighth seed, play
so,
up.
You're about to be so disrespectful.
No, play this. Yes.
I know, you're about to be so disrespectful.
The first round is so much harder. Right, for those two teams, the Heat and the Sixers, the play-in and the first round would be way harder than the second round.
Yes.
Because if you're Miami or Philadelphia, the loser of Miami, Philadelphia gets Boston. If somehow you beat Boston, you then get the winner of the Cavs and the Magic. You could win that in five.
Yeah.
I don't want to take a team for granted, but I'm just taking those teams for granted. Then all of a sudden, that eighth seed, now we just went somewhere else. The eighth seed is interesting in the Eastern Conference. Get the Celtics out of the way. You're going to have to either beat them at some point, beat them early, all of a sudden winner of the Cavs and the Magic, and then whoever is in the conference finals? Okay, here, how about this one? Is it ridiculous to think that this is not the only time the Sixers and the Heat play in the playoffs?
Wow, I see where you're going with this one.
Is that an absurd question to ask?
I see where you're going with this one.
Meaning they would meet in the, they would play in the play-in and the conference finals.
That would be spicy, wouldn't it?
We've never seen anything like that.
Of course we haven't. Of course. That would be spicy.
No, it sounded more dramatic because the playing just started, that sounds like a big thing.
That would be spicy. I don't.
Yeah. You're not writing it up 1% chance?
If it was those two and not Boston, that would be outrageous.
I mean,
under those circumstances, they're absolutely trading Jaylen Brown, right? If the Boston Celtics lose in the first round series, they're trading Jalen Brown.
Somebody's firing
Mazzulla. Yeah. Mazzulla's gone.
He's
out of here.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then they'd probably be trading Jaylen Brown rather than paying him, right? Because you can't commit $700 million to two players just to get bounced in the first round of the playoffs after winning 64 games.
I'd want him, though. If I'm another team, I'm cool. I'll pay him $50 million a year. He's damn good.
Yeah, of course. I'll pay him whatever it is.
He's great, whatever it is.
It's just they can't keep going.
Correct.
Wow. All right. We just got, what's the word, spicy? I think we just got very spicy with that.
Controversial.
That we just asked the question, is it possible that the Heat and the Sixers will play twice in the postseason? Andrea Carter, ESPN basketball analyst, WNBA tonight. We'll talk to her, WNBA draft tonight, excuse me. We'll talk to her about that next. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
WNBA Draft is tonight. And joining us now, she has been the star of women's college basketball. And Caitlin Clark, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Andrea Carter has been on the coverage of all of the college basketball with ESPN, and of course will be on the coverage tonight with the WNBA Draft, and joins us now here on Unsportsmanlike with Michelle, Chris, and Evan. All right, let's start with this. The obvious first question, Saturday Night Live. How awesome was that that Caitlin Clark was on?
It was like sweet redemption.
Explain.
It was beautiful. Like, just for her to go on, once she brought her teammates up there, the jokes landed. She handled everything with grace, which Caitlin always does.
She does.
And it was funny. It was such a great way to respond to the empty bar jokes and all the women's sports jokes that have happened on that show. Just come on, throw it right back in their face, to handle it with confidence, to handle it with class, and to have some fun with it, and actually just be like, no, here's what's really going on in women's sports, and let me come on and tell you about it as 24 million people just watched me play on national television. It was great.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It was
no doubt about it. So let's shift our focus to the draft tonight. I know everybody's excited about Caitlin Clark being selected first to the Indiana Fever, but what's next? Who should we be paying most attention to? What team in the draft has to absolutely nail it in terms of getting it right? Yeah. To get their franchise to a position where they can be consistently competitive.
Yeah, I think my eyes are on the Sparks. They have the second pick and they have the fourth pick. Like, when you have two top five picks, and this is a team that's missed the playoffs, but this is a storied franchise when it comes to winning WNBA championships. They lose Nneka Ogumike, who is one of the greatest leaders that this league has seen. They lose her to Seattle. So their ability to draft correctly two players in the lottery, they've got their picks, but those two players in that top five, who they go with, how those players fit into their system and what they can do. It might not happen this year. Like, I'm not saying they're going to make a push in the playoffs this season, but for them to move forward and get back to being that storied franchise that we've known the Sparks to be, my eyes are on them.
In the dream scenario, who would those two players be for them?
You know, it's tough. Honestly, between Rekia Jackson, because just a natural gifted scorer out of Tennessee, go Lady Vols.
Yeah.
Rekia Jackson, Camilla Cardoso gives you 6'7", gives you size, gives you energy on the glass. That's something that's an area that they struggled in. So rebounding, Camilla can bring that. Efficient scoring, Camilla can bring that. Camilla's played with grown women in her national team with Brazil, so I think bringing that experience helps too. Mm. So Camilla Cardoso, Rekia Jackson, and then Cameron Brink, I think, would give them length, athleticism on both ends, the finishing ability. Those are three players that I would imagine really go anywhere from 2, 3, or 4. Like, I could see Chicago taking one of them, and I could see LA taking the other two.
So we know Caitlin Clark has certainly embraced the spotlight.
Yeah.
Another young lady who's done the same is Angel Reese, announcing that she's going to be in the draft in Vogue, which I thought was very amazing. Where do you see her landing? What's a great spot for her?
Yeah, it's tough, you know, with Angel. I know people have talked about her potentially going to, you know, a Minnesota team or you know, being in the top 10 early in the season. She wasn't in the top 10 at all. Sometimes she wasn't even in the first round. But the thing about Angel, she is a relentless rebounder. Her energy, her passion, her competitive spirit that she plays with, she's working on developing her jump shot. I've been told she shoots the ball more than we have seen her do at LSU. That's going to be pivotal to her staying in the league. But as far as getting on a team and making an impact and bringing that energy, wanting to learn, wanting to compete, wanting to win, I could see Angel having success anywhere that she goes.
And I'm curious because she did actually talk about how she was the top-rated wing coming out of high school and how she's looking forward to displaying more of her arsenal at the next level.
Yeah.
Is she going to have to do that in order to be a successful player in the WNBA?
She'll have to if she wants to be the impact player that I think she wants to be, right? If she wants to be more than a role player, if she wants to be more than someone that comes into the game to get rebounds and bring energy, like, she's already going to do that for a team. But this skill set right here, knocking down jump shots, putting the ball on the floor, getting to the rim and finishing in an unorthodox way, but also finishing in a powerful way, being that creator, if she can do that, she'll have staying power in the league and impact power in the league. When you talk about being an all-star down the road, those type of things that I think Angel wants to do with her career, all the skill and showing that, that's what's going to be that gets her there. What she has right now will keep her on a team.
We'll talk with Andrea Carter, who's done a phenomenal job all throughout the women's tournament, getting ready for the WNBA draft tonight, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. We know how great Caitlin Clark is. We know she's a mega star. Is she definitively the best player in this draft? You have to take her one.
Yes.
Is she definitively the best player in the draft?
Yes. I would say Caitlin is definitively the best player. She's the number one pick. Her skill set is unmatched in terms of her range, her passing ability, her size. Like, people forget how tall Caitlin is at the point guard position. So tall, it made my voice squeak. You hear that? She's tall. I've got to work on that for the draft so that doesn't happen tonight. But her vision, and the thing about Caitlin, too, is she always found a way. She makes the right reads. Even with her teammates at Iowa, she was making the right reads, getting the ball where it needs to go, taking good shots for Caitlin Clark. So with her teammates around her at the next level, you're going to put stars around her. You're going to put talent around her, and she's going to be able to capitalize off of those opportunities, whether it's setting them up or cooking and eating for herself. So I think for Caitlin, her skill set is unmatched. I'd say that talent level is ridiculous as far as it goes.
Andrea, who's the team this summer that can get on the level with the New York Liberty and the Las Vegas Aces? Because those are the two super teams in the WNBA. Who can get on a level with them?
I would say Seattle. Like, when you talk about a Seattle team that now has Jewel Lloyd, Nneka Ogumike, and Skylar Diggins-Smith, like, Nneka and Skylar and Jewel, the way Jewel scored last season with a team that struggled all around her all season long, Skylar and the energy that she plays with, the defensive mindset that she plays with, and the way she can put pressure on the rim and get into the paint, and then you bring in the leadership and finishing ability and defense of Nneka Ogumike, one of the greatest leaders and a WNBA champion. Jewel has already won WNBA championships. So for that team, when you talk about a super team, having that big three and then building pieces around them, how everybody else falls into place, that's a team that I think could compete. The Aces are light years ahead of anybody. New York's trying to figure out how to get up there, and then there's a little bit of gap, and there's everyone else, in my opinion.
Let's go back to Caitlin Clark for a second. You said she's definitively the best player in the draft, but what obstacles will she face transitioning from being so dominant at the college level to going to the WNBA?
Physicality would be the first thing. I was on Good Morning America, it was yesterday morning, and I was talking about Caitlin's going to be going against grown women, like women with what I like to call mom strength. Like, mom strength just hits different. When you've got kids and you've been through giving birth, you just have a different level of strength than anyone I could imagine.
And toughness,
right? So going against grown women and the physicality and the strength that she's going to see, like, I would imagine her body is going to feel a little banged up. Like, when we talked about, remember Victor Wembanyama coming to the league? He had to get used to the physicality that was brought in the NBA, and he talked about that. He was like, these guys are strong. Caitlin will experience the same thing. Most rookies do experience that when you go into the league. It's a different level of strength, speed, quickness, decision-making, and then defense. Coming into the league, other teams are going to test her ability to defend one-on-one. I don't know what defensive schemes Indiana is going to have, but players are going to challenge her. They're going to try and attack her off the bounce. They're going to try and put her on her heels. So her ability to defend and then handle physicality, I think, are going to be the biggest challenges. But Wemby figured it out. Caitlin will figure it out. She'll start to mesh with her team. Like, whatever numbers Caitlin puts up in the beginning of the season, I actually expect them to get better as she figures out the league.
Andrea, we got about 30 seconds. She's heading over to Get Up. You'll see her there. Okay. Do we think that the WNBA rules for entrance are appropriate and fair? Because, like, for example, if Malaysia Fulwiley was a man on the men's game, she'd be a top five pick in the draft. There's no way she stays. She's awesome, by the way.
She's amazing.
But are the rules fair?
I do think they're fair because there are, and I don't know the exacts, and I need to learn these, but there are things in place to protect lottery picks on the NBA side. Like, one, the signing bonus that you get is ridiculous. And two, the way you have the G League, the way you have somewhere to land softly if things don't work out immediately, you don't have that in the WNBA. So especially now with NIL in place, it gives players, you can make money, you have time to develop, you have time to get ready, and then go into the league and have a little bit more staying power. I just worry about players going early, they don't have any of their education, and something goes wrong, and they don't have a soft place to land right now with the way the W set up. So I think we're in a good place.
Andrea Carter, you'll see her on Get Up in the coverage tonight, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, WNBA Draft. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. MLB Old Faces and New Places with Jeff Passan. Brought to you by TaxAct. Shohei Ohtani, Los Angeles Dodgers.
Shohei Ohtani was the biggest free agent in years. And the two-way superstar didn't have to go very far to ink a historic contract this winter. Former Angel signed a 10-year, $700 million deal with the crosstown Dodgers, with the hopes of finally playing in the Major League Baseball postseason. Ohtani made the playoffs perennially in Nippon Professional Baseball and won the Japan Series with the Nippon Ham Fighters in 2016. But the postseason has eluded him since coming to the United States, as Los Angeles' AL club missed the playoffs in each of Ohtani's six seasons. With the Dodgers, Ohtani should finally get a chance to prove he can deliver when the lights are the brightest. The Dodgers have made 11 consecutive postseason appearances and have won the National League West 10 times during that span. Ohtani is coming off major elbow surgery and is not expected to pitch in 2024. But the $70 million per year average could be worth it after he led the league with 44 home runs last season, en route to his second career Most Valuable Player award.
Jeff Passan's Old Faces in New Places. Brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with.
Jeff Passan's MLB Old Faces in New Places. He does a great job summarizing these stars' journeys to new teams. But nothing makes me angrier than reliving Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout together six seasons, zero playoff appearances. That is criminal. Even though we all know it, we know what a wasteland it's been with the Angels. To hear that, it still brings me back there. You had two generational players for six seasons, zero playoff appearances.
Is there any other example of that in any other sport where you had two generational players, two MVPs on the same team in their prime?
Yeah, in their prime.
That never went to the postseason. And I understand, obviously, postseasons are not created equally, right, because of the fact the number of teams in the postseason. But that's abnormally, like, you know,
it's historically awful.
Right. But you think about like Kobe with Dwight Howard and Steve Nash and that crew. Were they all in their prime at that point?
No.
Probably not. No. Nash was past his prime. He had won the MVPs, obviously, 05 and 06 or 06 and 07 with the Suns. I don't know that we have another example of that.
I'm sitting here thinking about it. I can't come up with one.
Because the prime part is really both won MVPs with the other one on the team. Am I not mistaken?
Yeah. There was a stretch where they accounted for four of the seven most recent MVPs in the AL. Like, think about that. Four of the seven MVPs came from one or two of those guys.
Zero playoff appearances.
Zero playoff appearances. It's bad. It's not great.
And the only memorable big game moment we have with them, too, on the same field was them against each other.
And the World Baseball Classic.
The World Baseball Classic, right?
It wasn't even a Major League Baseball.
That's mind-boggling. I'm looking here. Ohtani in 23 won MVP. Ohtani in 21 won MVP. Trout in 19. So they both won MVPs in that range that they were together and did absolutely nothing. That is remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. Anyway, today is an important anniversary in not just baseball, but in our world. It's the 77th anniversary of Jackie Robinson entering Major League Baseball. And for any parents out there, for any kids who want to say, well, I don't want the athlete to be the role model for the child, that's fine. Let's look at Jackie Robinson a little bit differently, please. Because if you want a role model, if you want somebody who is going to break down barriers and open up doors for others and have that unbelievable ability that tragically he had to have of taking all of the horrific abuse from all of those disgusting people that were doing what they were doing to Jackie Robinson, he took it, he dealt with it, he played through it, and he opened doors for countless other people. If you ever want someone to look up to that is truly within the sports realm heroic, that man is. Mm-hmm. I really wish Major League Baseball, they celebrate it, and they've retired 42, but I've said it for years. I don't understand why they don't have the Dodgers at the Mets every year on this date. Why are the Dodgers playing in Los Angeles today? Why don't we have the Dodgers in New York in the National League Series and we go all in? Citi Field is basically built as a tribute to Jackie Robinson and the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah.
Why don't we lean into that every single year? I don't understand that.
I don't either, but I'm glad that Major League Baseball does make it a celebration that all the players have the 42 patch on their jerseys. Like, I think it's important to make this a big deal just because inclusivity in this sport is really, really important, being able to have representation in this sport. And although we do have a lot of persons of color that are in Major League Baseball, we don't have a lot of American-born players that are black playing in Major League Baseball. And so I think being able to have that representation and being able to – you know, spotlight the contribution that Jackie Robinson made to the game overall is important in terms of continuing to grow the game in areas of this country where, you know, kids don't necessarily see a viable path to playing in that sport. So I'm excited that they do make it a celebration and that Major League Baseball does try to extend itself in that way on today.
I'm glad they make it a celebration as well. And to kind of circle back to what you said, Evan, I think it's so important that every year we recognize this and talk about it for those younger generations who might not have been aware of Jackie Robinson, to keep his legacy alive, but also remind people of what he endured. Like, some of the things, if you go back and read about it, watch it, were absolutely horrific. And I really think it's important for younger generations to understand what Jackie Robinson had to do in order to open doors for other people.
And the relationship with Branch Rickey. I mean, I don't want to just go based on the movie 42, but it's well worth watching with the late, great Chadwick Boseman as the star of it. But the relationship with Branch Rickey, who was the general manager running the team, knowing, I just want the best players on the field. And I want the best people that are the best players on the field. I don't actually care what they look like, but the relationship the two of them had in understanding what they were entering into was one in which that I was amazed by, and watching the movie and reading everything about it, the two of them together, I mean, Jack, let's not equate the two of them. I'm just saying had to be open for someone else to open a door. And Branch Rickey, who ran the Dodgers, did that where many other baseball teams at that time didn't, right? And so it is always a day to celebrate Jackie Robinson. There's never a day that we shouldn't celebrate Jackie Robinson. It's not only because he debuted 77 years ago today. He can be celebrated every day because when we look across sports, we've sat here talking about the NBA today. Well, LeBron James doesn't have the life he has if not for Jackie Robinson, right? I mean, we're talking about Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, number one seed, Boston Celtics. Don't have the life they have today if not for Jackie Robinson. And I just think that he is so right to celebrate at all times, and it's good by baseball retiring the number 42 for good. And then today, obviously, they're all celebrating with the number 42 over baseball, but there's just never a time not to celebrate Jackie Robinson, in my opinion.
No, absolutely not, especially what it meant, right? Like, the context of it all matters. The institution that was baseball back then in the mid-40s, what it meant to use that sport in as close to a meritocracy as you had during the time to break down, you know, racism and prejudice in this country was absolutely huge. So the courage by Branch Rickey to make that decision, the courage by Jackie Robinson to have the fortitude, and also the discipline that he showed throughout every aspect of his life to be somebody worthy of the opportunity, right?
Yes.
Because in order for Branch Rickey and Major League Baseball to extend themselves in that way, you had to have somebody that didn't have any question marks, didn't have any commas, didn't have any buts. And Jackie Robinson was that in terms of what he meant. I mean, he was a veteran. I think he was a second lieutenant in the military. This is a four-sport athlete at JUCO and at UCLA. He was a graduate. Like, he had all of the things that you would want a professional baseball player, somebody that would represent your franchise. He had all of the things that you would want. And the fact that he was black, knowing that opportunities weren't extended to men of color during that time, for him to lead his life in such a way where it made it palatable for Branch Rickey and Major League Baseball to give him that chance, I thought that was absolutely, absolutely critical. So credit to Jackie Robinson, a special man in every aspect of his life, and was, I guess, instrumental in changing how we looked at race in this country.
For sure. I also think about how difficult it was for him to endure the hate and all of the external things that were going on around him and still be able to have the career that he did. For so many people, that would have been so overwhelming. But for Jackie Robinson, 10 years in the league, rookie of the year in 1947, MVP, 6 All-Stars, and a World Series champion. Mm-hmm. That just, it tells you so much about the mental fortitude of this man and everything that he had to endure, and it still did not impact him on the baseball diamond. I just think that's really remarkable.
He had to be great. He was. He could not punch back physically. He didn't. And he couldn't punch back verbally. He didn't. He had the single most impossible job that any athlete has ever had in the history of sports and did it to perfection. He couldn't be good. He had to be great. And he couldn't ever fight back when people were saying disgusting things towards him because the masses were not in favor of him being there. So the moment someone who says a disgusting thing to him, he says it back, it's not that the random fan said it, it's that he said it. Mm-hmm. The moment somebody physically threw something at him or hit him and he did it back, like any person would do, it's not that they threw something at him, it's that he hit back. He had expectations and pressure on him that no human in sports has ever had, and somehow he reached and surpassed every one of them. We talk about LeBron all the time, rightfully so, as reaching the expectations of the chosen one in Sports Illustrated. Unbelievable what LeBron James is able to do. But then also add everything that Jackie Robinson was able to do and had to deal with. He's one of one, and baseball does the right thing in honoring him, and all sports should honor him today. 77th anniversary, excuse me.
The entire country should honor him.
Correct. It's not a sports thing. The entire world.
The entire country should honor Jackie Robinson.
Absolutely right. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
All right, we're going to go to Major League Baseball today. And tonight we got the matchup, the Washington Nationals visiting the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, the Nationals are a slump buster if there ever was one. So I'm going to go with the Dodgers on the money line, and then we're going to take Tyler Glasnow under 9.5 total strikeouts. Last time he was on the mound, 14 total strikeouts. He ain't going to come nowhere close to what he had the last time out. So I'm going to fade him a little bit, but the Dodgers still get the dub. So again, Dodgers on the money line, Glasnow under 9.5 strikeouts. That two-leg parlay pays out at +121.
21.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, most unsportsmanlike moments of the day. Things that are wacky, weird, odd, in and around sports. Let's start with the Rockets and Clippers game yesterday. So the Rockets won the game 116-105. Spread was 4.5, I believe, per ESPN bet. And that's important because at the end of the game, Boban on the Houston Rockets knew that there was a promotion that if anyone on the visiting team missed 2 free throws in a row, the home team's fans, the Clippers, would get free chicken. Boban missed both free throws on purpose, so the fans would get free chicken, which is just an amazing move.
He's an absolute hero.
A man of the people.
Oh, no question about it. That is awesome.
I gotta ask, is it point shaving, though?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you're missing on purpose. Everyone knows you're missing on purpose. I'm just saying.
You could say that you weren't trying to miss it on purpose, though.
You guys want to listen to the play-by-play? Can we listen to this?
I love that he gives the hand, the nod to the crowd. I love that.
With everyone throwing up the chicken
signs. No doubt about it. I love it.
All right, we're going to listen to the play-by-play of this, of the game yesterday, so you can hear what the announcers had to say as Boban missed free throws for chicken. I think, maybe, possibly.
Do we not have it?
Well, when Nuno gets in my ear and says the play-by-play is great, that's the indication.
We have it. Okay. That tweet that we were playing, that should have it.
Oh, wow.
Chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to him. Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
Oh, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
You think he did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
Fans are getting excited.
He put the one finger in the air, too. Like, yep, I gotcha.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Put it up.
Like Kobe's one and Michael, like, yeah, I gotcha. I did it. Well,
the Rockets ain't going nowhere. The game didn't mean anything. Why not?
Give the fans something to be happy about.
Exactly.
So, next one here. So, you know, Nick Saban's retired. He's part of the ESPN family now. He's going to be on game day. And he was at the Masters over the weekend and was interviewed by Laura Rutledge on ESPN about what Saban's been up to. Let's take a listen.
Has Miss Terry wanted to kill you yet?
You know, the day after I retired, I got the 12 commandments of retirement. So I've tried to live by them. But I found out that if I do my chores, then I can go play golf. So I get up early and get my chores done. And then it's like, now do I have a free pass to go do what I want to do?
What are your chores? What do you have to do?
I make my bed.
Okay, good.
I take the garbage out.
Wow.
I have to wait for her to eat together. And I have to leave a little food just because that's polite to tell people that you really thought it was good.
Yeah.
Which I grew up cleaning my plate, so that's not
Me
kosher
too.
Anymore. So.
Wait, I'm confused about the last part. He leaves food? That's the move? I don't even understand what that means exactly.
Yeah, I don't know, because I'm with Nick Saban's original thought that I thought cleaning your plate was a sign of a nod of approval to the chef.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because if you leave food left over, you're saying to whoever made the food,
it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is he talking about? It's amazing, though. For those who are watching on ESPN, he talks with his hands as if he's breaking down the defense like he would do at the press conferences. Yeah. It's the same thing with breaking down the chores.
I love the 12 commandments of retirement, though. That is a thing.
Miss Terry had those ready to go.
Exactly,
the day after he retired, she's like, here's the list.
I'm laying down the law. This is what it is. So you know.
Yes. I think that Nick Saban's relationship with his wife is so fascinating. I love how much he loves her, and what a big part of his legacy that she is, and the way that she runs things, and he defers to her in so many ways. I just think that's amazing.
Do you have assigned roles in your house?
Like, yes.
You do? Because ours are just like, it's understood. What's understood doesn't have to be said kind of thing.
So it's kind of weird. Like, we take gender roles to a different level in my house. Like, it's weird. Like, my wife will refuse to take out the trash. Like, trash can pop. She's not taking out the trash. Like, I have to make sure if I'm going out of town, I take out the trash before I leave, and when I come, it's piled up. It's for me to take out of the house. Like, she does not touch the trash.
Okay.
Conversely, I don't touch anything in the kitchen. So if there are dishes in the sink, that's not me. If they're the stove, that's not me. Like, that's all her. That is her realm. So it's really interesting how they – and we fell into that during the pandemic, and we've just kept that going. Mm-hmm. But it's weird. She won't take out the trash. I won't do the dishes.
You got to find what works for you.
You got to find what works for you. Now, this is a chore that I love. I love doing the laundry.
You
really?
Do?
I love doing the laundry.
Folding too?
Folding too. I love it. It is one of my favorite things to do when I'm at home.
I
love doing the laundry. I love
what
it.
What is like, it about
I've got,
laundry?
I've got the fabric softeners. I've got the pods.
Do you
I've
iron? Got,
I iron. I do it all. Like
wow.
I love doing laundry. I don't know why. I don't know why and how I fell into this, but I love doing the laundry. Like, I'm just like, babe, you got any laundry to do? You got any laundry for me? Like, I'm getting excited. Like, you know, when you get the doggy treats for the dogs, like, that's how I am with laundry. Like, you got any laundry for me to do? I can't wait to do laundry. That is one of my favorite things to do.
Wow, that is so surprising from you.
I know, it's very strange.
All right, I got another one for you guys.
Hold on, do you have a chore you enjoy doing?
I love organizing, reorganizing, cleaning out. Like, I will pick... Yesterday, I cleaned out the entire closet in my bedroom. I was like, all right, I'm going to do this today while I was watching the NBA. Uh-huh. I will reorganize everything in the kitchen. If there's ever dishes in the sink, I'll put them in the dishwasher. The only thing I hate is taking the dishes out of the dishwasher for some reason. I don't like putting the dishes away. I'm cool putting them in. I don't know why I don't like taking them out. I'm not in love with folding, but I'll clean it at all times. I have no problem cleaning at all and reorganizing. I think I'm pretty good like that. All right, you got to watch this, though, and we got to describe this to the audience. So the Hornets have a guy on their team named Poku. He used to be on the Thunder. Well, he did something yesterday. He inbounded the ball to the ref. He thought the ref was on his team. He did not realize the ref was the ref. In the Hornets win against the Cavs, legit inbounded the ball to the ref, which bounced off of the ref out of bounds.
He ain't going to be on the team next year. I can promise you that. He ain't going to be on the team.
I mean, mind-boggling.
Oh, man.
All right, last one here. I want to make sure.
Charlotte Hornets have been out of the playoffs for, like, what, 8 years now?
For the entirety of their franchise, since LJ and Mourning, basically, at this point. It's bad. It's very bad.
It's awful.
All right, last one. I got to make sure I get this in, especially the WNBA draft tonight. Caitlin Clark on Saturday Night Live. Women's basketball is kicking butt right now. Dawn Staley, Rolls-Royce Championship Parade. Rolls-Royce convertible driving around South Carolina with a title parade.
Did you think the Louis Vuitton Dawn was going to show up in any other way other than in style?
That's pretty amazing, though, Smalls. That's awesome that she's just rocking the Rolls-Royce convertible South Carolina title.
Is that her Rolls-Royce convertible?
It is now. It
nice.
Is now.
Nice.
Just saying.
Her Rolls-Royce convertible, no dealer plates, no leases. It's all Don Staley.
Fresh white.
No question.
Greeny coming up next. No, we are on to Tuesday. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.